If I could put a title to what I want to share today, and I've been thinking about it through this week, we sing that song, How Great Thou Art. That would be the title. And you know, it takes us conditioning our mind to be able to focus on that. Because there are some songs that have been going through my mind that I have heard in the past. One was, go tell your mountain how big your God is. So if you were talking to your mountain, how big is God compared to it? Because you know what is so easy? That I spend my time telling God how big my mountain is. And we do that. There's no problem with that. But I think there's something in that when we're talking to God about how big it is. It starts, if we will let it, it can help us to come to the place that the mountain starts getting smaller. Conditions haven't changed, but our view of who God is what changes. When we have a problem, we get to choose what we're going to focus on. The problem or the problem solver. The one that is able to take care of this problem or how big it is. There was another song. Is there anything too hard for God? It says, who's got a problem beyond his power to solve? Are there situations, you know, in my mind, I can just instantly pop off, oh yeah, he's greater than anything. But do I really view it that way when I start looking at my problem? Are there situations that he's not the master of? Is there anything that's too hard for God? Then there was another song, bigger than all my problems. You know, this is the condition of our mind, is my problem is still there and it has not changed in size. But I start seeing, as we had this song just now, that it's easy when life's at its best. But it's down in the valley of trials and temptations. That's when this, what I call faith, is really put to the test. But it didn't say, well, you're just going to fail at it. It says the God of the troubles, he's still God of mountains and the valleys. Either way we look at it, he's still the God of those. Bigger than all my problems, bigger than all my fears. You know, my fears can cause that mountain of a problem to even get bigger and bigger. It says God is bigger than any mountain that I can or I cannot see. Bigger than all my questions, bigger than anything. God is bigger than any mountain that I can or cannot see. And there is a verse that I need to always remember as I'm looking at this. Sizing up my mountain, my troubles, and sizing up God. And that is in Proverbs 3, 5 through 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. That comes into play as I start looking at the trouble that I'm facing. My understanding of it. And I guess maybe what got this started was, whenever I fell that day and my shoulder messed up, I've always had times in the past where it was no big deal because maybe it hurt for a day and then it's better. So Irma would tell me, Dan, you're getting older. You need to quit some of those things. And I'd tell her, you know what, helps having padding. And I just keep on going. Well, this one kind of changed everything. When it hurt like it did, I knew I got problems. You know what can happen, whether it's that or whether it's anything else that happens in your life. All of a sudden, this thing can become a mountain in my mind. It can say, you know what, if you can't use that arm, you're not going to be much use at work. We can have all these things start growing, and if it's not this for you, it'll be something else for you. There will be something else that will become a mountain, a big problem in your life. So you know what, I have a choice. What is it? Am I going to focus on my problem, or will I focus on the problem solver? Sometimes when I focus on the problem solver, I can say, Lord, you're able to heal this thing right now. You're able to just turn it around, and tomorrow I'm climbing the ladder again to finish that swing I was working on. But you know what, I've really come to think God had a plan for it. And I'll have to say today that I thank him for the plan. Because you know what I think the plan was? He probably was telling me back there, Dan, you need to slow down, you're getting older. And I didn't do it. He did it now. I thought maybe Saturday, I said, you know, I may be getting to the place that I could use my zero turn mower again. And I got on it and found out this arm says, nope, you won't do it. Well, you know what? I can do something with that. I can even say, you know what? This makes me so upset. I'm going to force it. I'm going to make this thing get better. But what I found out was, what I want to do is say, Lord, you got me in this little place right here. I don't know when it will change. I am thankful that it's steadily improving some. But you know what? I can lose my peace because it takes too long. It was 3 weeks yesterday. And to me, that's too long. I hear people talking about the rotator cuff, and a year later, they're still working with it. And I was wanting Monday after it happened on Saturday for everything to be back to normal again. But you know what? We go through these little places of lessons for us. Part of it is this verse in Proverbs 3 and 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean to your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. You know what? I can come out on the other side of that and say, the Lord is directing my path today. I am not able to use it like I would like to, but I'm also very thankful that I am able to use it some. And then I can say, Lord, you know what? It has slowed me down. I do have more time now since I'm not mowing. Ron came out for 2 days. He mowed my yard this past couple days, and I'm thankful for it. But you know, I have a lot more time to sit out at the pond on a swing and be alone with God if I let it. Or I can let my mind be churning of what I don't have and what I wish I had. I think it's a lesson for us. There is, as I look to get a picture of God, there are some places that I need to go to and look at. Romans 11 and 33. Because you know what, for me to not fret about the things that happened in my life, I have to be able to have a real good view of God, that He's working His will in my life. In 11 and 33, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God, how unsearchable are His judgments, and His ways are past finding out. Then it says, who hath known the mind of the Lord? Who is it among human beings that can say, I know what God's thinking, I know what His plan is? Or who hath been His counselor? Can you imagine Him coming to a man and saying, I need some advice on what I need to do. Can you tell me? You know what? I would love to do that. I'd love to say, I can give you some advice on this one. Touch this thing real quick and everything will be fine again. Who hath been His counselor? Or who hath first given to Him and it shall be recompensed to Him again? I look at these and it starts making me to realize how big God is in the things that happen in my life. I want Him to be that. There are other verses that I want to be able to have. What I'd like to have, we talk about the books in our thoughts that we have. And we can have all of my troubles can be the biggest book that my mind thinks about. Or I can build some other volumes and get them bigger, put some more pages in there of how big God is when my problems come. That's what I'd like to do today. Over in Isaiah, Isaiah 66, and 1, the Lord says, thus saith the Lord, heaven is my throne, the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you would build unto me, and where is the place of my rest? All those things hath mine hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord, but to this man will I look, to him that is of a poor and contrite spirit. That's where I want to be living my life. To him that is of a poor, and how do I get that poor and contrite spirit? As I start getting a better view of who God is, and I humble myself before Him. Poor and contrite spirit, and tremble at His word. There's another verse in Isaiah 6 and 1. I saw the Lord. There was a time when He said, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. You know, I want to be able to have that in my own life. Got this problem right now. But I tell you, the biggest thing I've got in my mind is I see the Lord high and lifted up. Working His will in my life, working His will in your life, with a plan for heaven out ahead. You know what it say? Who hath been his counselor? There, we in here, every one of us probably, if the Lord would have said, tell me how you'd like for your life to be, I would have changed some things. But you know what? If I'll put my hand in his and realize, you know what? To every one of us, his desire is that the end of it all, I step over into heaven, make heaven my home. And I just have to remember Cheryl realizing, coming to the place, you know what? She could have had, what's the verse say? Lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you. We can have a place where we say, Lord, you know what? I have served you faithfully. Why did you allow this thing to come into my life? She took it and said, you know what? I told the Lord I wanted to make heaven my home. Yes. Whatever it takes, I want to go to heaven. So I'm going to take this thing and say, Lord, you have a purpose in this. You know what a peace that brings to us? Whenever I live my life, more than just my head knowledge, but down in my heart, I say, Lord, this thing that you have allowed, this thing with my shoulder, you have allowed it to help me to make heaven my home. So do I want him to rush it and tomorrow I want to get back to busy again? Lord, what I want to do is make heaven my home out in the end. And then we commit those things into his hand. You know, really, that's where Sister Maxine is today. That's where Sister Maxine was when she broke her hip. Of just being able, you know, she could have allowed a root of bitterness to spring up and trouble her. Or just thoughts that were bothering her. But you know what, as she would come to the place where she commits it in the Lord's hands, today she would love for the Lord to say, it is enough, and take her home. You know what, that's not a bad thing. I think the Lord is pleased when someone lives their life where they have a great anticipation of heaven and say, Lord, I would love to go whenever you're ready to take me. But he also, I think he even has smiles bigger when we say, Lord, I would love to go today. And I believe that's what she's wanting. But then when she consecrates, because Paul did the same thing. He said, I'm in a strait betwixt two. If you had had the stonings that he had, the whippings that he had, the shipwrecks that he had, you'd have probably been wanting to go too. He said, I'm in a strait. To go is what I would like to have happen. But you know what? He had it consecrated. He said, Lord's already shown me. I'll be staying. And he was consecrated to that. Lord, help us as we start seeing how great God is, that we will, he will become larger in my mind, in my thoughts, to combat the things that are thinking that I would like the Lord to step in and do for me. You know, the children of Israel, they wanted a change. They were tired of manna. And you know what? They had a desire for it to change. And it said the Lord gave them their request. What would you do if the Lord gave you your request and changed your situation? And what you did not realize was, that thing's going to cost me my soul. Yes, Lord. He said he gave them their request. But the price tag was too great. Yes, said it sent leanness to their soul. You know how dependent we are upon the Lord to be able to move into my life and be able to recognize, Lord, I see this as you working in my life. I thought about Job. We read the first couple chapters of Job, and he's a winner. He finishes that thing out. You could put stars on his name. You did it good. But you know, life keeps on happening after I make those kind of commitments. And he kept on having boils day after day. And he came to a place where he would have liked to have given God some advice on what should be done. And somehow that got to God's attention. And he said, I'd like to be able to have an audience with God. I'd like to be able to talk to him. And we read those places where God said, okay, gird up your loins and talk to me now. Job, where were you when I created this? You know, when we start seeing those things, you know what? Our balloon starts blowing the air out of it real fast. All of a sudden, all the things I thought I want to tell God what he needs to be doing, it just kind of deflates. And it did with Job. For two chapters, he's asking him, Job, where were you? You wasn't even around when I created these things. And Job, at the end of those two chapters, this happens in the last four chapters or so of Job. At the end of two chapters, Job said, I'm done. I don't have anything else I need to say. Well, God still had other things he'd created, and Job wasn't in on it yet. God told him, said, nuh-uh, come on. We got two more chapters of things that you wasn't in on. And Job, at the end of all that, he said, I abhor myself. You know, I can't even stand myself anymore. Put my hand to my mouth. You know what? I want to live in that kind of place to where, Lord, I may not understand what you're doing, but I have a confidence that your desire is for me to make heaven my home. And you will send into my way the things that will help me be able to make it. There's another verse in Psalms 18 and 30 that if I will always believe this, not just in my head it's there, but in my heart it's there. As for God, his way is perfect. Whether I see it as being that way or not. What is our song number 111? Had I the choosing of my pathway, in blindness I would go astray. I would wander far away in darkness, and I'd never reach that land of endless day. God's way is best. As for God, his way is perfect. We have those verses that tell us, no good thing will he withhold from those that walk uprightly. And I can take that to the Lord and say, Lord, I want to tell you a lot of good things I'd like for you to put in my life. You know what it said one of the good things was? It was good for me that I'd been afflicted. Yes. You know, we have to take that one and chew on it a little while. Because I can look at the things that's happening in my life today and say, I just really don't see how that is good. But you know what? There was some good in it for him. And there's some good in it for us. There's another place where it talks about, I went down to the potter's house in Jeremiah 18. And the potter is shaping something on the wheel. When we look at that, what's happening is my life is being shaped. Maybe it's trying to be molded into something that would be beneficial to others in this life. Some imperfections that he wants to take out of my life so that he can have a vessel that he can use. That vessel was marred. It doesn't have to be if I would yield myself to him. Went down to the potter's house. There's also some verses that I'd like for us to look at about that. Isaiah 64 and 8. But now, O Lord, thou art our Father. We are the clay, and thou our potter. We all are the work of thy hand. Lord, help me to just, that's my mindset all the time. Lord, I'm the clay. You're the potter. You're molding this thing. I don't have to see the purpose of this thing that has just happened to me. But I do need to have faith to understand there's something that you're working in my life. And Lord, help me to be willing. Oh, be still, thou soul of mine. In difficult times, that I would just have a peace and a calmness. Lord, I may not even in this life understand the things that are happening to me. But I believe you're sending them for a way for me to be able to make heaven my home in the end. And I'm thankful for that. There's another verse in Romans 9. Because I need to keep this thought in my mind. He's the potter. I'm the clay. And he's trying to make something with my life. In Romans, the 9th chapter and in the 20th verse. This is an interesting verse. Nay, but O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why have you made me thus? Can you imagine talking to God really? I wouldn't do it out loud, nor do I want to do it just in my mind. I've got to remember, what does it say? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why did you make me this way? Why have you shaped this vessel? You know, we heard this morning of the C.W. Naylor. You know, my understanding of his life was he was out in a tent meeting. They were putting up a tent for services when the main tent pole fell and he was crippled for the rest of his life. Crippled to the point he could never get out of bed. He was totally crippled. Somebody's going to have to take care of him. And then we hear of all these songs, these books that come from him. where he just kind of opened himself up and let us see inside of him the days when he was so despondent, and then the little red bird came along and told him to cheer up, and it changed who he was. You know, these things are made in difficult times. Yes. He could, shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why have you made me thus? You know, his writings and everything could have shut down right then. I have nothing. What is the secret of the singing heart? Somebody mentioned that today, another book. Those books could have been not written. He could have said, I have nothing else to say about this situation. I don't know why God has done that for me. I was out in a meeting. We were out trying to help souls, and now I'm laying in this bed for the rest of my life. But instead, he climbed up on top of it, wrote some songs, wrote some books to encourage us for when our time comes. There's another, when we think about this clay and the potter, there's another song that I need to have from my heart instead of just from my head. Oh, make of me what thou wilt have me to be. As clay is, so I am to thee. Just fashion me to thine own pleasure, so that thou canst thine own image be able to see. And then have a confidence in what happens to me tomorrow is a part of that plan that he's shaping me. I want to go to a verse in Psalms. Psalms 145. Because what I need to be able to really let this be more down in my heart, not just my head, is I need to see God high and lifted up. This verse in Psalms 145 and 1, I will extol thee, my God, O King. I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee. You know, that's good days and bad days. I will praise thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. His greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise thy works to another and declare thy mighty works. I want to be able to do that with my life. Great is the Lord, greatly to be praised in the good times and in the bad times. I thought of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You know what? They had a view of who God was. Because when the king told them, just in case you misunderstood, I'm going to give you another chance. When you hear that sound, you bow down and everything's going to be well with you. And they said, we don't need that other chance. What did he say? We see God high and lifted up. Our God is able to deliver us. You know, he's up here to where all he's got to do, God can speak the word and we're going to be okay. That's one part they had. Then another part they had was, he's going to deliver us out of your hand. We're going to be delivered here in just a little bit. We see the fire. That could be what takes us out. But we'll be delivered out of your hand. And then it finished it up. But if not, if all the ways we see that he could work and really make this thing really special, you know, if they would have just been able to see, you know what, you guys are not even going to have smell of smoke of you. Don't worry about it. But you know what? They had to go through the thought process of, they just heated that up 7 times hotter. And we still have a confidence in God. This confidence they had is why the peace can come to us. He is able to do it just like I want him to do it. He's also going to do something in my life. And if I don't understand any of it, I'm still going to put my trust and my confidence in him. I am so thankful for that. Tell our mountain how big our God is. That's in this thought process that we have going down into my heart. And there's a couple places that I want to look at. In 2 Chronicles, the 20th chapter. You know, we can have big things happen in our life, some big troubles, and wonder, how is this thing going to end up? This one, I like to go back to 2 Chronicles 20. What would happen if this were happening to you? It says, it came to pass after this, the children of Moab, Ammon, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. There came some that told Jehoshaphat, there cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side Syria. And Jehoshaphat feared. You know what, every one of us, it's okay to fear. It's okay when something happens and I wonder, where is this going? But what's very important is what I do with that fear. Yes. When the fear comes and wants to consume me, that's only natural. It happened to Jehoshaphat. He feared, and then he set himself, I'm looking in this direction. He set himself to seek the Lord, and he proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And I love it when we're talking about how great thou art. He's got the people marching toward him right now. What's he going to do? Is he going to say, God, I need you to do something real quick? What he started out with was in the sixth verse, he said, O Lord God, our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? Rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heaven? In thy hand is there not power and might so that none is able to withstand thee? He's just reminding God, God, my confidence in you is building up. Whatever you want to do with it. And you know what? It's also told him, 12th verse, O our God, wilt thou not judge them? We have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do. You know what? You may have a trouble tomorrow that you could take this very verse and claim it for yourself. I don't know what to do with this one. But what it said was, our eyes are on you. Our wife, our children, everything we have that's valuable to us, we're just setting this aside now, Lord. We're putting this in your hands, and our eyes are on you. Says 13th verse, all Judah stood before their Lord, before the Lord, with their little ones, with their wives, with their children. You know, I think as God looked down and he saw this also is consecrated to me. This also is going to be destroyed if I don't do anything about it, but their eyes are waiting on me. And then the news comes to them. You won't even need to fight. You're going to get to go out and just watch this one. And it's amazing to me how God works. There's three companies that have banded together with an agreement to destroy them. So God comes in. You know, God is able to influence. He wants to influence our thinking. He's also able to influence the enemy's thinking. He got them to where two of them turned against the other one and destroyed them. Now there's just two groups left. And then it said they turned against each other. How could that happen when they were all together, unified, when they came? All you got to do is God put it, just like the bees that he said he would take, the hornets that could come. He has his own way of doing things. And may I submit it all into his hands. They were able to just watch God take care of it. So in these things that we're going through, we're all going to go through it. Something's going to happen to you if life is good. And may we be able to just go to the Lord and say, Lord, this is what you have allowed now into my life. First of all, help me to submit myself to you. I don't want to lose the peace that the Lord can give to me in trying to tell him how I need this thing gone today. So you know what? I've had to just kind of do a little consecrating myself to say, Lord, should this stay at this level right here? Here's what I can. You know, it's amazing what things you cannot do and you used to take for granted. One thing I cannot do is get the mail out of my mailbox from the car. That arm doesn't go there anymore. But you know what? I can say, Lord, I tell you what, though, I am thankful for. I got my shirt on this morning, having to do it different than I used to do, but I still got it on. You know what? If we will take, your troubles won't be that, but you're going to have some. If we will be able to go to the Lord, you know what? Sister Maxine is going through this today. And I believe, as far as I know, this week has been a pretty bad week for her. But I heard last night from her. She said, I've got something that I've recorded. Want to share it with the congregation in the afternoon. You know what that is? That's part of these things right here. Where I heard the enemy's coming, it's getting worse and worse. I have nothing to give to anybody else. But instead, in the middle of it, when she's just feeling good enough to be able to do it, I still got something that I want to share. Don't know what it is, but I tell you what, it could be an encouragement to us because I don't have trouble as bad as she has. Help me to be able to have something that I can feed others with. It's going to come from me being able to recognize not my head only, yes, but in my heart, how great you are. Lord, you are bigger than any mountain, the ones that I can see, the ones that I've developed in my own mind. You know, we can look, and I've done it recently, and I'm going to have to scale back. I started over the last few weeks looking, saying, I hope to be able to find some good news going on right now. And I went away with a lot of thoughts in my head that we're still not there with good news just yet. And it can churn in my head. And it can cause me thinking about what needs to be done. I had, this past year, I just started getting Social Security. And all my life that I've been working, paying into it, I had thoughts in my head of what it was going to do for me. I just thought, you know what? Yeah, I see this every check. They take out a big old chunk. But one of these days, they're going to start giving it back. You know what I found out when I got there? They said, boy, you don't need that much money. We have decided that you're making too much money. We're not going to give it to you. We're going to give it to somebody else. So they had asked me, they said, are you going to continue working? I said, oh, yeah, I'll continue working. They said, you're going to give most of it back. Well, sure enough, that happened. And I even went to the place I thought, okay, I can accept that because at least I'm putting it back into the pot that is fast depleting, the Social Security pot. So I asked him, I said, okay, this check that I'm writing here that I'm having to write, losing the Social Security that was coming to me, I'm having to give it back. Are you putting that in to help the fund? They said, oh, no. I said, there is no such thing. I said, this is one big pot. So what we send over to overseas to help them on things that I wish they wouldn't, it just went in that pot. Okay, we're past April 15th, so we shouldn't be worrying about that kind of stuff anymore. But you know what? Those kind of things can come along and destroy my peace. Or I can say, you know what? We live in a country to where after I have given everything that they want to take from me, we live better than anybody else in the world. We are blessed. So it really is all in how I want to look at things. I can also, tomorrow, something happens to me, and I can look at it two different ways. I want to look at it, Lord, you are high and lifted up. You've got some kind of plan in my life today, and I'm thankful for that. Now, I want to go practice what I preach. Amen.